Blog Talk Radio.
It still doesn't show us as hooked in. Let's try this again. Hopefully now you all can hear me. But I do want to let you know real quick about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And he's always been there for me. And, you know, no matter what I've faced, he's always been there for me to meet my needs. And, you know, I know he's going to continue. And it's just been great to watch him move mightily. And
Mom says you found
him. Really has been just great to see what all he's done on my behalf. And so I just thought I would let you know that. And you can go online to buy the book, you know, and find out information about the book. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com, rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles, and how it can be a blessing to your life, as I really want you to read it. Amen. But I just want you to read it and want it to be a blessing to your life. And it's just been great to watch God move. And, you know, what all he's done. And so So you can go online to that website, find out information. The other thing that I want to remind you about is about the PayPal. I want to thank Laura and Natalia for being faithful during their season of the Miracle Man program. I want to thank both of you for doing that and being faithful in doing that. You can be like them by sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program. You can go online to paypal.com to sow your seed. And when you get on PayPal, in the search bar, you'll be able to type in River, you'll be able to type in my name in the search bar, Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers is capitalized, as is the S in Shukla. So please, if you would, make a note of that. It would be great if you would do that for me, you know, and just let other people find the program, you know, sow their seed. The verse I want to sow into your life tonight is where it says, therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, not according to all this other man-made stuff, but according to his riches. And when I get notification that you've sown a seed, I pray over that seed. I really do. And it really does mean a lot to me when you do sow your seeds into the program. Amen. And so, with that, Lord God, I thank you that you are with us, that you are for who you are to us, for what you are to us, for what you mean to us. Thank you for this time in your word tonight that we get to study your word, study your ways. Thank you for what you've already done in us, what you're doing in us right now, and what you're going to do. Thank you that you anoint me to deliver this word, and you anoint the hearers, the listeners of this program, to that they have ears that are ready to receive your word tonight, and that they would not only receive it, but they would do it. And I thank you, Lord, for that, for these listeners, and for what you're doing in each and every one of their lives, and for what, how you're using them. Thank you, Lord, for that. And that you're healing their bodies, healing their minds, healing, fixing their relationships that need fixing. You know, Lord God, what all they have need of. And I thank you that you are meeting those needs for them. Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program. And most of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom. That in Jesus' name, amen. And so now I'm opening my Bible, if you would. I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to go to chapter 6, Hebrews 6, see what all the Lord has for us tonight. Hebrews 6, I'm going to start with verse 1. Hebrews 6, 1, and I read, thank God for the word of God. What would we do without it? You see, it's the blueprint for life, you know. And I don't know what we do in these weird days that we live in without it. I don't know what we do without it. I don't know. I really don't. But thank God we have it. Thank God we have the Word of God. I'm going to start with verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts. Turning the page. Repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God. Instruction about baptism. The laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have teached the heavenly gift, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age. If they fall away, to be brought back by repentance, because by their law, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Uh-oh. Don't want to be doing that. Verse 7. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger
of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things, in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped people and continue to help them, his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope true. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Verse 13, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore to himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear to someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offering to us, any may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor and the soul firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went up before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Who Melchizedek was king of Salem and the priest of God, Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name meant king of righteousness. Then, all the king of Salem, king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains the priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch, Abraham, gave him a tenth of the plunder. In other words, he tithed. Now, the law requires the descendants of Levi, who become priests, to collect the tenths from the people. That is, the brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. He collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. For without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek and Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Let's see our Jesus compared to this. Jesus, like Melchizedek, verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and then it says parentheses, for on the basis of it, the law was given to the people, and parentheses, then why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belong to a different tribe, and no one from tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to the tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest, Melchizedek, appears. One who has become a priest on the altar with a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced. By this, we draw near to God. For it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn you will not change. Lord has spoken and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of these priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He always intercedes for us. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak. But he came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. So, you see, Jesus is our high priest. And that's why when, if you go to a local church, they talk about Jesus being the ultimate pastor of the church, you know, because, you know, at the local church, you know, you'll have your local pastor. But then Jesus is to be the ultimate pastor. At my church, he is. I pray he is at yours. I pray that he is in charge of your church, of your local church. And if you're not in a local church, you need to be in one. It's important that you be able to rub shoulders. It really is. And I'm not just saying that. So, that being said, and about this, tithes did not just come from this whole idea of Abraham, you know, and him giving a tenth and all that, and all those other give tenths and all gave their tenths and all that. So the idea of, oh, it's just under the covenant. No. God said, Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in their house. And prove me not, wherefore, and prove me that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't be able to contain. That doesn't sound to me like it's something that's just for the old covenant. That's not what it sounds like to me. Even in the New Testament, there are references to tithing. Tithing, you know, is important, you know, for God's people to be doing. It's by the tithe is how the devourer is rebuked. The devourer is, you know, the stuff trying to take your health, the stuff trying to take your kids, the stuff trying to take your finances. The devourer is out there, the evil day. You know, we live in an evil day, but, you know, God's there for us. And Jesus is that high priest. Now, when we pay, you know, when we bring our tithes, you know, when our past has been instructed by God to pray over it, you know. And then also when I think of Jesus being the high priest and Jesus being like Melchizedek, you know what else he's the high priest of? Our profession. He's the high priest of, you know, our profession. And he's been priest, you know. He's been, since he was declared the high priest, he's been the high priest ever since, because he lives forever. He is still the high priest. He should be the high priest over us individually. You know, because ultimately we're going to give an account to him. On Judgment Day, we're going to give an account to him for how we lived our lives. You know, for what we said, for what we did. Speaking of what we said, that's even our idle words. Our little idle words. We're going to give an account. We're going to give an account for those. Yes, we are. In case you didn't know that. Now you do. And when I think of Abraham, you know, what we read about tonight talks about how he waited patiently to receive what God had for him. Some of us, our problem is we don't want to wait. Some of us, our problem is we don't want to wait. No, I'm not talking about a blind. No, I'm not talking about a traffic light either. Nope. Some of us don't have patience. Just don't. Some of us just don't have it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to wait on God. As much as we might want that miracle that we're believing for from God to come right then, right that very second, sometimes you have to wait. And, you know, as you wait, you know, you live out your life and that, and you keep believing and keep knowing that he's going to do what he said in his word. But, you know, you just keep believing and you just keep, you know, think of the song. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I've tasted in your goodness. I've trusted in your promise. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I've tasted your goodness. I trust in your promise. I'm going to wait on you. And you know, something else the Bible says, those who wait on the Lord, he renews their strength. He renews their strength. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall soar like the eagles. You know, yeah, those who wait on the Lord. And by wait, I don't mean just sit here on this little chair like you're waiting for a bus. No. You know, you go about living your life, you know, but you keep believing along the way. You know, and you keep believing for your breakthrough, keep praying, keep believing, keep confessing. You know, you shout, you know, you praise, you worship, you do all that, keep believing, and you just keep doing, you know, the stuff that God wants you to do, and, you know, submit yourselves unto God, then you shall receive, then you receive your breakthrough, that breakthrough that you've been believing God for. Some of us have a certain thing that we've been believing God for a very long time. And some of us don't want to wait. There'll be some people that maybe didn't receive what they were believing for, you know, before they died, or maybe they fell away or whatever. They decided, you know, to fall away and quit on God. You know why some of them, they might have fallen away? Because they didn't want to wait. Some of them, it could be because they did not want to wait. They did not want to keep waiting. They thought it was too long. And I know for me, it's been, you know, a long time, but I keep believing. I keep trusting. I keep trusting in him. I know it's been a long time, but you know, I'm not giving up. I've tasted of the goodness of God. We read a little snippet tonight, you know, it talked about tasting in the goodness of God. I've tasted it. Oh, and he makes his promise. And his promise is true. His promise is true. When God makes a promise, and makes an oath
to his people. He doesn't go back on it or forget about it and say, well, I guess. I like to say his promises are yes and amen, not maybe and I guess. Because when he says, I will do this, he means I will do this. Of course, got to pay attention to all the ifs and stuff. If you hearken diligently, you know, and things like that. So there's our part. You know, we have to stand fast, stand firm, not be holding grudges and all that kind of stuff. You can be living perfectly and still have to wait. But, you know, for some of us listeners, feel like revivals coming. I think we're going to see miracles like we haven't seen in a very long time. For many of us, for so many of us, for those who stick with it, the wait's over. That miracle's coming. Yes, it is. For those who wait on the Lord, he renews their strength. You know, and they will run, not go weary. They will walk and not faint. Because that's what happens when you wait on the Lord. And trust on him and have faith in him. And I think of multiple places, multiple different miracles that Jesus did, including with the issue, woman with the issue of blood. She didn't say, if I go up and touch him. She said, if I go up and just touch the hem of his garment, if I go up there and just touch the hem of his garment, then I can be healed. She didn't say, if I can have all these hands laid upon me, if I can have the disciples, each one of the disciples lay hands on me, and then let, you know, the head of the synagogue lay his hands on me, and then let Jesus lay his hands on me, maybe then I'll be healed. That's not what she said. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I just go up there, reach out, and touch. Technically, she wasn't to be there with all those people. But she took that giant leap of faith and had that thought in her brain. If I just touch the hem of his garment, he shall be made healed, be healed. And then she gets healed right there. Right then. And you know what he said? Your faith has healed you. That's what I hope to have Jesus say to me. You know, when my eyesight is restored, is River Shukla, your faith has healed you. Has healed you. You know, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. When you walk by, it can be easy. Sometimes, you know, you might feel in your body and be like, well, this hurts, that hurts, or, you know, this feels a bit off, that feels a bit off, this feels high, that feels high, you know. But, you know, as Christians, we're to walk by faith. Not by sight in what we see, you know, whether it be in our finances, whether it be in our health, whether it be in our relationships, whether it be in these many different areas of our lives, you know, we walk by faith, you know, not by sight, because it can be easy to go by sight, you know, in all these different areas, like in terms of, you know, finances, like what the economic data says, what the president said, who's in power, who's in the White House, who's the governor, who's, you know, and all this, who's running this agency or not. Let me tell you something. That Rodney Howard Brown said that God told him. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown was told by God, you know, a bit before the 2020 election, he was told, I don't care who's in the White House, nor who's in this agency or that, but I am the Lord your God. And now Rodney Howard Brown said, you know, he's like, well, I care, but ultimately, he's like, what he was saying was God's not fazed by it. You know, and he's like, I'm the Lord your God. Because he had that vision, that open vision from God back on like March 17th of 2020. Right in the midst of the start of all the COVID crazy, nasty, stupid, you know, all that stuff. Overreach. But ultimately, we put our trust in God. That's what we should be doing, putting our trust in God. Not in chariots, horses, not in what the media says, or economic data, not necessarily just in what our own body says, or what the relationship says, you know, or what have you, but trust in the Lord your God and in the power of his might. Knowing that he can and he will. Because, let me tell you, God wants the best for us. He really wants the best for us. He really does. You know, it's that amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm blind. Was blind, but now I see. And it's that thing that taught my heart to fear. Then with grace my fears relieved. How gracious is that grace appeared. Then when the hour I first believed, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we all to sing God's grace. Then when we first begun, and you see, it's that amazing grace. It's all by his grace, you know, that we're still able to be here today, you know, and that we're, if it wasn't for his goodness, if it wasn't for his love, you know, so many of us very well could have just given up. But because of his mercy and grace, you know, we can still be standing. And the Bible tells us, doing all you know to do, keep standing. Keep standing. It didn't say, you know, when the going gets tough, sit down. It doesn't say that. That verse isn't in there. Maybe some of you try to say it is, but it's not. It said, stand firm. Stand strong. The word of God is a firm foundation. A rock. Not, you know, bits of sand. Not even beach sand. It's summer in the northern hemisphere, but, you know, down south of the equator, it's winter. But Bible says, you know, doing all you know to do, keep standing. You know, got to keep standing. You know, and you keep believing, keep trusting. That's what I do. I haven't allowed myself to just totally just give up and go like, I don't know if I'm going to receive what I've been believing him for or not. But whether you're really believing for a miracle or not, you know, you want to stay under the covering of God and under the grace of God, you know, and under the provision of God, you know, and under the covering of your pastor. If you got a good, born-again, spirit-filled pastor, you know, who teaches the right things, that pastor loves you, put in your life by God, you know, provided you're where God wants you to be. And you make your pastor the preacher of the century. You know, like, in your mind, they should be, like, the hottest preacher. You know, like, one of the, like, the hottest preacher. You know. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that these people would get it in their hearts and realize that you are the ultimate high priest. You are our high priest. And I just thank you for your hand being there with us, and that you are healing our bodies, strengthening our minds, that pain would leave these people, that fear would leave these people, that discomfort would leave their souls. You know what it is that they need, and I thank you that you're moving on their behalf right now. And I thank you that their needs are met in you. I thank you that as we go, that your grace is sufficient for them. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. And now I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no sickness, no disease, no terrorists, no fire, flood, or crash, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness through you, Jesus. And until next time, until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.